An anti-fascist movement has been gaining traction in the U.S., called Antifa for short. The group is known for its militant style and tactics. The activists have shown up at far-right rallies to counter-protest, toting semi-automatic weapons. They were in Charlottesville and most recently in Portland, where violence erupted yesterday between Antifa supporters and far-right demonstrators, as well as police officers. Josh Meyer is a senior investigative reporter for Politico. He's been writing about Antifa and its role in protests like in Charlottesville and others. His latest article out today is about how extremist groups, including Antifa, are exploiting loose gun control laws by showing up at rallies with assault rifles and other weapons. I spoke with Josh about the movement, starting with its spike in notoriety over the past few weeks.
Well, I think to me, Mark, what was newsworthy about this is that they have been getting some notoriety among the general public, but that they've gotten a lot more notoriety by the federal law enforcement community. They've been watching these guys, or men and women, for more than a year now, and growing increasingly concerned that they're getting more militant, that they're getting more training and operational planning and coordination, and that they pose a very serious threat.
How significant is it that the Homeland Security Department has classified their activities as domestic terrorist violence? Like, what does that mean, and how significant is it?
It's significant in that the Department of Homeland Security and other federal law enforcement officials, the FBI, once they start using that term, you know, it suggests, or more than suggests, confirms that they're taking them very seriously. They're very concerned about their ability to get weapons and use them, everything from homemade shields and clubs and things like that to, you know, semi-automatic weapons and things of that nature. You know, some of the earlier law enforcement sensitive documents that I have referred to them just as domestic extremists, and then you would see the terminology of domestic terrorism starting to sort of filter into the documentation as the law enforcement people would circulate it among themselves. So they're taking it very seriously.
Yeah, do you get the sense that, given this new classification, that law enforcement might take greater notice if they get intelligence that members of this group might be at a particular event in their communities?
I think so, yeah. And it's important to note that some of these right-wing groups, too, have shown up in law enforcement. They're called intelligence analysis documents. You know, some of the right-wing groups have shown up in those as well, but it's new that these Antifa people have, I think. And yeah, I think it's certainly a flag for law enforcement at the state, local, and federal level to take them very seriously. You know, of course, not everybody affiliated with any of these groups is by nature a domestic terrorist. And in fact, there is no, you know, criminal statute or designation for a domestic terrorist. So it's more of a sort of a nomenclature than anything else.
What is the organizational structure of Antifa?
You know, that's something that I don't think the authorities are even, they don't really have a good handle on it. I thought that was one of the most important things to come out of the reporting, was that they've acknowledged that they really don't know enough about these groups. And, you know, partly it's because they've really come to the fore over the last year after President Trump was elected. But even during the campaign, they were there. But they date back many, many years. I mean, a lot of these people, the Antifa people, came out of the Occupy movement. They came out of the people protesting the G20 summit. So they should have a good handle on who these people are. But what they do say is that they're very, very decentralized. It's almost like a leaderless, movement. But there are clearly people that are helping coordinate this, helping move from city to city. I'm told that there are leaders, you know, that do go from one event to another.
We keep hearing that members of Antifa are anti-fascist, but I'm wondering if you can sort of give us a better sense of what exactly members of this group stand for.
You know, I think that these Antifa people think of themselves as sort of the modern-day equivalent of the old-fashioned anti-fascist fighters in the United States, in Italy, in Spain, in Germany, in places like that, where they were really fighting, you know, the rise of Hitler and Mussolini and real, you know, dictators like that. And, you know, what they like to say is that if we don't fight back now with violence where needed, bad people will do bad things. And we're sort of the firewall protecting good people from evil. So, you know, I think that they, at least many of them have good intentions, but, you know, the law enforcement in particular are very concerned that they're using the wrong tactics and that one of these days somebody's going to get killed.
Does it seem like members of Antifa use the events in which they are involved? Do they try to get that out on social media as a recruitment tool or as a way to bring more people to future events and try to either outmaneuver or overwhelm law enforcement or members of other groups that they're fighting against?
They do. I mean, we noted in the stories that, or I noted in the stories, that both sides are using the rallies and the public confrontations to their own benefit. I mean, what there's sort of a vicious cycle where they go to a rally, violence ensues, and then they take to social media and go online and not only, threaten the other side and say that, the next time I see you, it's going to be worse, but they use it as a recruiting tool to raise money, and that's just escalating the violence on both sides. To the point where, authorities are very, very nervous that, one of these times they're going to show up at a rally together and something really bad is going to happen. One of the things that they're concerned about is what's called a reflex shooting, in which, there's a crowd full of people with guns, and especially if they have their guns trained on each other, which hasn't happened yet. But, if one person fires reflexively, anybody else who has their finger on a trigger pulls it. It's a human, reflex action that you really can't even override. And, police trained for years, to override that, and they're concerned that if you're in a group like this with a bunch of amateurs or people that don't have a lot of training, that, if somebody accidentally pulls a trigger, for instance, or shoots out of fear for their safety, that you're going to have a whole bunch of people starting to open fire.
Josh Meyer is a senior investigative reporter for Politico in Washington. Josh, thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Thank you.